13. June 7th. He is definitely better. He still does not wake up, but his respiration is down to 18 per minute, almost normal, and his color has come up from blue to white. And he looks better. I've not yet taken his temperature, but I can tell from touching his forehead and then my own that although it is still high, it is not as high as it was. Taking advantage of this improvement, which may, I know, be only temporary, I changed his sheets, blankets, pillowcase, and pajamas. To get the old sheets off and the clean ones on, I had to roll him from one side of the bed to the other. This was one thing they had taught in the hygiene course, and I did that very cautiously. It did not seem to harm him, however, nor affect his breathing. Altogether, it was quite a messy job. I have a big wash to do, and I know now that I was not cut out to be a nurse. I did consider it at one time. From a distance, it seemed like a good profession. I would be helping people who needed help, and if I was trained, I would get paid for doing it. But I had decided on teaching instead. It is also a job of helping people, though perhaps not as much as nursing. It is still hard for me to realize, even after all this time, that I am not going to be anything, not ever have a job or go anywhere or do anything except what I do here. I had chosen teaching because I liked specifically the idea of teaching English. I like books and reading more than anything else. My plan was, as I taught, also to study, to take graduate courses in English literature and possibly writing. That whole idea is over now. There are no more schools and there is no one to teach. I know that, yet I keep thinking about it. Another part of my plan was to live at home, save money, and spend my entire first year's salary on books. I have so few that I have read them all 20 times or more. Thinking about that has set me to wondering. A lot of the books I would like to buy, would have liked to buy, are in the Ogdentown Public Library. There's also a gift shop in Ogdentown which has a small bookstore in it. For that matter, there are some pretty big houses there that probably have books that nobody else is ever going to read. What I wonder is, could I bring some of them here? I am thinking of the safe suit, of course. Having traveled all this way, Mr. Loomis could easily, I should think, make a trip to Ogdentown to get some books. But would they be dangerous to bring into the valley? Or would it be possible to set them out somewhere, up the hillside, with a cover over them to keep the rain off until they lost their radioactivity? I think we could test them, like the creek, once a week with the Geiger counter. I don't know enough about that, but Mr. Loomis would. Though he might not be too interested, being apparently not much of a reader. Thinking about this, I get really excited. Yet I am not sure. I thought, if it could be done, if the books would become safe to handle, and Mr. Loomis did not want to go, I could go. That is, if he would lend me the safe suit. And that thought brought me back to Edward with a jolt. June 8th. He opened his eyes this morning, but they were blank and unfocused, the eyes of a newborn animal. He was not seeing anything at all. He also seemed to be trying to speak or make a noise, but all that came out was a croak. I guessed he was asking for water. I got some and fed it to him with a spoon. He wanted it, all right. I gave him half a glass and then stopped, afraid he would get sick if he drank too much too quickly. The best thing was that he could swallow it quite well, though some did run out the corners of his mouth and down his chin. I knew he was not really conscious, but it was progress, and I felt better. A little later, I also took his temperature. I had to sit and hold both the thermometer and his chin, which had grown whiskery, but it worked. He has 103, much better. But he is skin and bones. Now that he could swallow at least liquids, food seemed the next thing to work on. I thought about the most nourishing liquids I could concoct. Soup, of course, but even better, I decided, boiled custard. I made some. Milk, egg yolks, sugar, salt. While I waited for the milk to boil, I wished again for the stove. And I thought, well, why not? I had the tractor now. When I had dismantled the stove, I planned to haul it piece by piece on the small and rather rickety old hand truck. I had not even thought about it since we got the tractor running. With the tractor cart, I could move the whole thing in a matter of minutes, and it would not take long to reassemble it in the kitchen. I knew exactly where I wanted it to stand. So, while I waited for the custard to cool, I ran to the barn, backed the tractor and cart to the loading platform, and lowered the tailgate. The cart and the platform are almost exactly the same height, not by accident. My father built a sort of earth ramp leading up to the barn just for that purpose. I had already put the firebox, the heaviest part, on its Masonite sled, so with some tugging, I soon had it aboard the cart. The other parts I simply carried on. Unloading at the back porch of the house was equally easy. It was about 6 inches lower than the cart, so I unchained the tailgate and used it as a gangplank. Getting the firebox over the door sill was a small problem, but I remembered a trick of my mother's. I rubbed the sill with very soapy water, and the Masonite slid over easily. Reassembling the stove was harder than I had thought it would be. Some of the bolts did not want to slip through their holes. Also, I put the grate on backward the first time and had to take it off again. I worked on the project all afternoon, taking time out now and then to check on Mr. Loomis. Quite a lot of hand-washing each time. When his custard was cool enough, I tried feeding it to him with a spoon, a sip at a time. Again, he did not wake up, nor this time even open his eyes. But he did swallow, gulping each spoonful with an effort. Swallowing seems to be a reflex, an instinct not requiring thought, and I am glad of that. Still, I gave him only about 2 ounces at the first feeding. I wanted to be sure he could digest it. The stove is finished. It needs only 2 lengths of straight stovepipe and an elbow, which I will get from Mr. Klein's store, to connect it to the kitchen chimney. Then I will polish it. It is black with nickeled trim and will look beautiful. I am proud of it, especially the oven, and of myself. It is like getting a Christmas present.